You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle alongside Matty Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Hey, Common fans, make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/@commonfangbr. Subscribe to the channel, like our videos. That way you can keep up with all the fun and frivolity of the Common Fans, and the YouTube machine will make sure to keep you posted on all the new episodes and all the fun things that are going on. You can also send us an email, commonfangbr@gmail.com. We love hearing from our fellow Common Fans and talking about reading emails on the air, reading questions. Some of the emails we've gotten have led to great discussion items on the show, that sort of thing. So that's always a lot of fun too. Follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook, all the fun and games. Guys, real quick, you know, we're big fans of certified Piedmontese beef on this show. I wanted to do like this, like a spotlight segment of a specific CP beef product, but I've now done multiple times, and I'm a grill guy. It's grilling season. I love to grill. We all love to grill, but multiple times now we have done the New York strip steaks.
Oh yeah.
On the cast iron, in a cast iron pan on the stove. Okay.
Oh.
And just, I saw this on Instagram from a chef, so I didn't make this up myself. I wish I could take credit for it, but you just, you know, olive oil, whatever spices you like before you throw it in there. I do a little olive oil in the pan as well to start things off. And then medium high heat, three to five minutes on the stove on one side. Then when you flip it, you throw about a half stick of butter in there, garlic, whatever other like spices, vegetables, whatever you want in there. And you just kind of baste the butter on it repeatedly. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Another 3 to 5 minutes. If you want on the more rare side, 3 minutes each side, the better, the more done side, you know, five and a half minutes each side. And then you pull it off and you just let it set for 5 to 10 minutes on, you know, on the cutting board or on a plate or whatever. Outstanding, guys. Absolutely outstanding. So highly recommend you give it a try. Of course, Common Fans, you yourself can try this, and it goes best with a New York strip from Certified Piedmontese. So get to your local Mercado butcher shop, two locations in Lincoln, one in Omaha. You can also go to cpbeef.com to get Certified Piedmontese beef shipped right to your front door anywhere across all 50 states. Certified Piedmontese, powering the Husker football team and powering the Common Fan Podcast. Matthew, Jeffrey, how are we doing this fine day?
Doing great.
Doing well, doing great.
Living the life right now.
Geoff's on vacation. It looks like, what are you, in South Bend?
Beautiful South Bend in the summer.
Is that Gary, Indiana?
I see some palm trees. I see sunshine, Geoff.
We're in Tucson, Arizona for the week. So it's nice. Hot. It's supposed to be like record-setting temperatures every day that we're here, like 105 or more. So it's toasty. It's nice out right now, though. It's a dry heat, as they say.
Jeff, be aware. Obviously, you're aware of the heat, but be careful with chafing. Chafing is an issue that. in those yeah. warmer temperatures. Those yeah, in the desert climate.
Touché.
Maybe switch to some tighter like compression shorts, performance underwear.
Jock straps, Matt. I'm a jock strap guy.
I'll bet you are, Jeff. You know, Jeff, you're also one of the whitest, pastiest humans I know. So just make sure to load up on whatever the highest level SPF you can
find. SPF 1000, yeah.
Yes. 1000. Yep. Load up.
Stay inside. The sun is my enemy.
You got to be careful out there. And, you know, some people's skin is just not meant for the sun, and you're mm-hmm. definitely one of those people. So
this little Irishman does not react well to the sun. So thank you. I appreciate your concern. It's,
looks like you're well aware of that. Yeah. So
I'm in the shade right that. Now. Yep.
Okay, excellent. Excellent. Well, Common Fans, we are so, so excited to kick off. Officially, it's going to kick off next week, but we'll tee it up. We'll say we'll tee it up for you golfers out there. We're teeing up a series of episodes. We've been working on this for months. It's a series we're calling The Reckoning, and we're going to be doing a deep dive into the post-Tom Osborne era of Nebraska football. So we'll kind of talk through each episode. We've got six episodes. We've already recorded five of them. We've already got them in the can. Like I said, this is a project we've been doing research, building outlines, interviewing some unbelievable guests, and really going to do kind of a deep dive into each era of each coach since Tom Osborne retired. And so I think one of the things that we'll probably, this will be a running theme as we talk about this, you know, one of the things we were thinking of, like, what would be interesting and fun football content while we're all sweating through the dog days of summer, dreaming about college football season getting here. And the other thing is, for myself and for Matt and Jeff, I think, and probably many other Common fans, we find ourselves in these conversations all the time anyway. I feel like these are lots of back patio, having a beer, what went wrong with Nebraska football conversations that are in some ways therapeutic for Common fans. And as we'll discuss throughout the course of the episodes, we're also hopeful that in doing this project, we can maybe exercise, or at least be some small part of helping to exercise some of the demons that have plagued Nebraska football and help get us back on track. So just really excited about the Reckoning series. Episode one will be released Monday, June 17th. Again, we're going to talk briefly here in a minute about what each episode is. Guys, anything to add to that?
Well, I think it's a great exercise, if you will, because when we were talking about doing this, TJ, you know, we mentioned how there were moments in each coach post Tom Osborne where it's like, holy crap, this might work out.
Yep.
And then something or a couple, two or three different things happened that made it not work. But it's very fascinating. And the other thing was, we've always, you know, okay, that guy didn't work. Let's fire him. Let's move on to the next guy. And we never really stopped to talk about it and think about, okay, well, what happened? Why didn't it work? What was going on behind the scenes?
Or why did we hire this guy in the first place?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So I think it's, for, at least for me, going through and recording these and, you know, the murderer's row, if you will, of Nebraska media that we've got set up here for this thing is pretty awesome. And to get their perspective on it, I think was fascinating to me. So I hope that all the Common fans out there will think so too.
I 100% agree. You guys know, and our listeners know, that I'm a casual fan over the years. And so for me personally, it's almost like a history lesson where I've learned a few things that I didn't even know about. So I would implore any listeners that if you know anybody else that, you know, wants to take a trip down memory lane and doesn't even necessarily have to be a diehard football fan, but maybe just wants to be educated on the past and what the Husker fan base has been through. I personally think it's been a good just history class for me. My wife has talked about it with me. She's very interested because she's a casual fan and just wants to learn a little bit more. So I think it's pretty fun and it's been really cool and a good experience.
Absolutely. It's been thoroughly enjoyable to be part of these conversations. And again, pretty proud of this project that we've done. And I think Husker fans will just really enjoy it more than anything else. And again, maybe it'll be a little bit therapeutic or cathartic for our fellow Common fans as we try to look forward to a new era of Nebraska football, hopefully starting very soon. Also special, huge, huge special thank you to Brandon Vogel, longtime reporter covering Nebraska sports and college football. He was at Hale Varsity for a long time. He's now running the Counter Read newsletter, which all Common fans should check out. Go to counterread.com, counterread.com, to learn more. He and Aaron Sorensen are putting out great content. I don't want to pigeonhole him. I think it's solely focused on the Huskers. So to help you feed the addiction as a Husker fan, a lot of Husker football content there. So there's some free articles. And there's also a membership you can get for $7 a month. or a subscription you can get for $7 a month. So I'm a subscriber. I'm a paid subscriber, thoroughly enjoying reading Brandon's stuff on the Counter Read newsletter. So Brandon was with us for every single one of these episodes. So the format was we had the three of us, me, Matt, and Jeff, plus Brandon for every episode of the Reckoning series. And then we also had an additional member of the media, the Nebraska sports media, who was covering the specific sort of coach in question or coach at hand, if you will. And so the other members of the media for each of these episodes included Mike Babcock, a longtime Nebraska reporter going back to the 70s, Mitch Sherman, who's at the Athletic now, but covered Nebraska and college football again for decades. Sam McEwen, sports editor at the Omaha World Herald, Brian Christofferson at Nebraska 247, Evan Bland at the World Herald, and then Michael Sevier, a longtime radio man in a lot of different facets, helped us wrap up the series and put a bow on it. So just like Matt Dio said, I mean, we're just honored and humbled to have had all these guys being willing to spend some time with us, talk to us about the ghosts of Husker football past, and to really share their perspective and their memories of and their thoughts on the different things that could have happened, should have happened, that sort of thing. So really fantastic lineup. It was such intriguing conversations with these guys. And again, we've already recorded most of the episodes. And so I think I can comfortably say, I really think these are solid quality conversations that Husker fans are really going to enjoy. So unless you guys have anything else to add, I'll go ahead and start talking through sort of what we looked at for each of the episodes.
Go for it,
all right, General. The first episode, again, coming out June. Our plan is to start Monday, June 17th, and release one episode a week, each week following until we're done. And that was, we've got six total. We could, depending on how this goes and what the reception is, you know, we could do like a follow-up, maybe not right away, but maybe like a post-op look with some other Common fans or maybe with some other podcasts or something. We might do a seventh episode, just kind of, we'll see what the reaction is. But the first episode coming out June 17th, and we'll put this out again on over social media and other all the usual channels. What if Nebraska had never fired Frank Solich? So I thought that, you know, some of these they're equally fun questions to consider, but also just, you know, the longer ago it was, the more you have to go back and kind of remind yourself and look up things that happen in different games, different seasons, that kind of thing. So, I mean, guys, the Solich era started when we were in high school. And so it was fun to look back. You know, Solich is the only conference championship winning coach of the post-Osborne era. He's the only coach to have played in a national championship game in the post-Osborne era. And so, and then of course he also had that, you know, the 7-7 season, which broke the streak of 9 wins and felt like the sky was falling in Husker football when that happened in 2002. So some highs and lows, certainly. You know, his firing is probably up there as one of the most controversial in Nebraska football history. Certainly, I think it's still talked about in the college football landscape more broadly, fired after going 9-3 in 2003. And so we took a look at what if Nebraska had never fired Frank Solich. Was he turning the ship around after he brought in some new assistants before the 03 season? Could they have gotten back to a place that Husker fans would have been happy with? It's just some really interesting questions, great perspective from both Brandon and Mike Babcock on that one. Really interesting discussion there.
Yeah, it was. Because again, going back to like the what if thing, like you know, there were definitely moments during the Solich era that was like, okay, yeah, it's business as usual. 99, we were right. Arguably the best team in college football. If they had a CFP back then, you know, myself and many other thousands of Husker fans think that we probably would have, you know, waxed the floor with the rest of the teams out there, Florida State and I think maybe Virginia Tech back then. But yeah, there, I mean, what if that happens? What if there was a CFP and we win the national championship? That probably buys Frank quite a bit more time.
Yep.
And a 7-7 season after 2 years three years removed from winning a national championship, maybe it's more of a, hey, so what? We'll get back to what we want to be. So yeah, I think it's a fascinating, and people, I think for the most part, people still talk about that occasionally. Like, that was where Nebraska went wrong. So if, you know, I mean, fitting that we start off with that. I mean, not only chronologically, but that's a lot of people think that's where things kind of went south.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Geoff, anything to add to that?
I won't spoil anything for the episodes, but common fans, you will be surprised on some of the opinions about how this went wrong and why it went wrong. So that's a very divisive topic and a really cool one that we discussed. So yeah, buckle up.
Definitely. All right, that one's coming out June 17th. The week after that, June 24th, my least favorite Nebraska football coach, but possibly one of my favorite episodes. Would Bill Callahan have worked with more time? Mitch Sherman joined us for that one. Really, really intriguing, good conversation. Mitch, of course, did the go-to sort of the piece in The Athletic about the hiring of Bill Callahan and that whole saga that was. So we definitely dived in to that, the sort of the front end of the Callahan era, where the program was at the time, the hiring of Bill Callahan. He was about choice number five for athletic director Steve Peterson. So we got into all of that. And then we get into the Callahan era. I mean, I think the recruiting was pretty good. Some parts of that operation were pretty smooth and well organized. You know, two losing seasons in 4 years. You know, the results really weren't there on the field. Again, at a time when Husker football fans had much, much higher expectations. But it's interesting to look at the talent that he brought in. You know, the fact that Bo, with many of those players, would go on to play in multiple conference championship games. And so we asked the question, would Bill Callahan have worked with more time? And you're going to want to keep an eye out for that one, common fans. This is a really, really engaging conversation.
Definitely. The very, very weird era of, in my opinion, for Nebraska football, not for just strictly on the field, but we'll talk about some of you folks may remember some of the weird off the field things going on in Nebraska during that time as well.
Yeah. And I've just forgot what I was going to say. Oh, I know what it was. The whole coaching search. And I think some of the names even that Mitch brought up in that episode, I think it was kind of shocking and surprising. There's a few names in there that I didn't know were even being considered. So that part was interesting too, where that 40 some day coaching search and with, you know, involving Houston Nutt and planes landing with the coaches not on them and all those kinds of things.
Yeah. The drama that we've lived through as a fan base has just really been incredible.
Absolutely.
All right. So that's June 24th. Would Bill Callahan have worked with more time, featuring Mitch Sherman? The next one we're going to look at, of course, the Pelini era. That episode coming out July 1st will be titled Bo Leaver or Bo Leave-er. And so, of course,
so clever.
Thank you.
It's a play on words. It's hilarious.
Good. Very good, Jeff. Put some sunscreen on. I would argue, and I think I did make this point, or in one of the episodes or multiple of the episodes, I would argue that the Bo firing is the most contentious among the fan base to this day. Maybe it's just because it's more recent. But I think you still see it on Twitter. You still see other things, people fighting about whether or not we should have fired Bo Pelini. He won division titles and played for the conference championship in 09, 2010 in the Big 12, and then 2012 in the Big 10. So three out of his 7 years as a head coach, he won division titles, played for a conference title. So many what ifs of the Pelini era. What if he wins one of those? What if he wins even one conference championship? What's different after that? So many times of feeling like we were so close, and then other times of getting completely like blown out in a game where the team sort of mirrored the head coach's personality and completely melted down. So many times of blowing leads, so many other times of fighting back and coming back, you know, and winning games we probably shouldn't have won. I mean, it's just such a roller coaster of an era, and to say nothing of the sort of off the field drama or some of the other drama that happened. And so the Bo era, well, I feel like we could do a whole 6-episode series on just the Pelini era itself.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I
mean, he was a content machine, that's for sure. And that's why this episode was so fun. Just the games themselves and the games that he was winning games, getting blown out in some, and sideline antics and press conferences. And I don't want to spoil anything, but there's just a lot of stuff to cover there. I agree with TJ. You could do multiple episodes just on different facets of that, just coaching era. So that was a fun one. And it, like you said, it's very, very divisive even to this day. So it was a good one.
For sure. And then, you know, the other thing that this whole series really, you know, we kind of talked about how there's kind of a lazy narrative, more so nationally, I think, that Nebraska hasn't been good or won anything since Tom Osborne retired. And you know, I look at the Bo Pelini era and consistently winning 9 games for 6 or 7 years and playing in 3 conference championship games. You know, it's so funny to me how on a national level, people either don't remember that or have forgotten about that and or think that that doesn't matter. So, I mean, I remember that Pelini era fairly fondly. I mean, it was still, again, like there was some weird stuff going on still, non-football related stuff. But I mean, I got some great Husker memories from the Pelini era.
Oh, you absolutely. Know,
it's like the win against Missouri after the week after they had knocked off Oklahoma, who I think was ranked number one in the country, and Roy Helu runs for 300 and some yards and has the school record. Like there were great moments.
Multiple wins over really good Michigan State teams.
Yeah.
That 2011 game against Ohio State, we were down 27-6 and came back and won in the rain in 20. I was at that one. So many like phenomenal memories there, and just at least being in the conversation in November. Right.
Yeah.
Which we really haven't had since,
much to the
frustration of Husker fans.
Yeah.
So that one will be July 1st. That'll be some good, you know, 4th of July content for the common fans. Take a trip down memory lane, looking back at the Pelini era, you know, while you're on the patio or at the lake or shooting off fireworks or whatever you're doing. That's July 1st, Bo-Lever or Bo-Leave-er. Next episode, which will be July 8th, will be, was Mike Riley the biggest miss of the post-Osborne era? Brian Christofferson joined us for that one. That was a great conversation with Brian, his first time on the show, which was super cool too. This one, guys, I mean, I think it was interesting to me because I almost thought it was like, what are we going to talk about? Like Riley was terrible. Everybody knows it. There wasn't the only drama was like, because we were so bad. It was a really interesting episode and conversation. And I don't think I'm trying to remember now. I don't think everyone said, yeah, like to me, it was like, obviously, yes, that's the biggest miss. That was a terrible hire. I don't think everyone agreed on that. I don't think we had.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
That did surprise me. You're right. You thought that would just be an easy softball type episode where everybody would concur on the same answer.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely some different takes and some different perspectives that I had never heard before. So, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't just a 3-minute episode where you asked that question and we all said yes. End of episode.
Yes, of course.
There was some good conversation, some good points made.
Yeah, for sure. And it was, you know, Riley was really painful as it is to say, kind of the beginning of this awful stretch that we've been in. I mean, he did have one winning season. He did go to a bowl game in 2016. But 2 out of his 3 seasons were losing season. He goes 5-7, 9-3, and 4-8 in his 3 seasons. I guess 9-4 after we lost the bowl game in 2016. But you know, there was more to that. I mean, that 2015 season in particular, there were so many close heartbreak losses, the kind of which we become all too accustomed to. And you know, I think there was certainly at the time, I think we were all trying to convince ourselves, hey, this guy did it with chewing gum and paper clips at Oregon State. Now he's got the keys to the Ferrari. I'll bet he can make this work. I think we all kind of knew we were lying to ourselves when we were saying that. But needless to say, there was a lot more to this episode than maybe I even thought going into it.
Yeah, we thought he was going to be MacGyver, and it turned out he was more like MacGruber.
Well said. Well
MacGruber.
Okay, and then let's see. That was Riley episode will be July 8th. So then Monday, July 15th will be, how in the world did Scott Frost not work at Nebraska? Evan Bland from the Omaha World Herald joined us for that one. Kind of a deep dive into the Frost era. This is another one, I think, guys, for so many reasons that could have been its own series of episodes. I think, you know, the golden boy, the hometown boy, the quarterback of the last national championship team who sort of just had this skyrocketed career through the coaching ranks, had never really failed when you think, I mean, or not failed, you know, not really failed in a significant sense. And then doesn't even have a winning season at Nebraska. Doesn't even get to 6-6 in a bowl game. It's still mind boggling to me, guys. I think it's still mind boggling to a lot of Nebraska fans. I hope this episode will be therapeutic for many of you, because we got into lots of stuff, and I think it was really good. Evan's always fantastic, but just gave some really thoughtful, honest answers. Like, I think Evan was more honest. Like, you can be honest without sharing all the details, right? I think Evan was just like super candid and honest in this episode. I'm really excited for the fellow Common fans to hear it.
Yeah. Out of all the coaches in this topic alone, this is probably the most fascinating to me. I feel like if they made a 30 for 30 out of that coaching era, I would watch the shit out of that.
Like, absolutely.
So like, I feel like if ESPN, if you're making that, we'd be happy to be involved in it. We've gotten a lot of information, a lot of good media sources, but certainly one of the most fascinating, just dumbfounding eras of Nebraska football that I know all of us, but I'm sure all of the fans as well. It's in the title of the episode. How in God's name does this not work? Right. So that was a fun one. I really, really enjoyed it. I know the Common fans will too. It was great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And for that one, going back to what I said earlier about how there seemed to be a moment where, and for each of these coaches where it's like, okay, this could work.
Yes.
We never really had that moment with Frost. He's probably the only one.
Shockingly,
that, and you look back, okay, what was his best win? Oh, was it year one against an okay Michigan State team in the snow? Like,
right. And that's 9-6.
Find one that's better. Find a win that's better. And that's just, it's just fascinating and dumbfounding that there wasn't anything else to really discuss in terms of like, okay, well, he had these, you know, every coach was like, okay, we had this one good season or two good seasons, went to a bowl game, beat this team, beat that ranked team, whatever. We never had that with Frost. So that was kind of fascinating to like kind of talk about it out loud and realize like, holy crap, it was really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. The only excuse is like, we weren't looking for like a reason to believe. We were looking for excuses as to why we were bad. Not like, why we haven't, like, the potential of turning the corner. Like, we got to the point where desperation of blaming it on lightning storms and canceling games, and that's completely changed the trajectory of the program.
If they would have played that Akron game, think about it, 4 or 5 years later, we're winning national championships. It's all about that Akron game.
Yep.
It is a big what if, though, guys. and then the last episode of the series, which will be July 22nd. Again, we're not gonna end on a positive note. The last one doesn't ask a question. The last one explores the promise of Matt Rhule. And this was a really, really good discussion. We had Michael Sevier on for this one. So about the first half of the episode, we kind of did a recap of all these episodes that we've did and kind of talked through each of them a little bit with Michael from a big picture perspective. And he gave us some really good, candid thoughts. And then we pivoted and we looked forward and we said, let's talk about Matt Rhule and why we think he's going to work and why we think this is going to be a good thing for Nebraska football. I think it's fair to say, I don't think I'm speaking out of turn. I think they would agree. Michael, I think, is a believer in Matt Rhule. I think Brandon Vogel is a believer in Matt Rhule. I think what they've seen and from their interactions with him so far, they've been very impressed with him. And so we talked about, you know, reasons to hope. And if you don't want to believe yet, if you just want to hope, that's fine. And, you know, reasons to hope in Matt Rhule and reasons to believe in Matt Rhule. And so that was a really good way, I think, to tie up this episode and try to pivot a little bit and look forward and have some hope for the 2024 season and beyond.
Yeah. You know, when we needed sure. that little nice taste of positivity at the end, after discussing all the things that went wrong for the last 20 some years.
Absolutely.
And can I just say, Michael Sevier does such a good job with, I loved having him as a guest on that episode. Just the answers he gives and the way he answers them just come from a completely different perspective than my own. I like talking to that guy. That was great.
Well, I'm glad that worked out well for you, Jeff. He's fantastic. he's fantastic. I mean, he's the guy, you can tell he's a radio guy, right?
Yeah.
And so like, he's just really engaging, really good, good to have a conversation with. But yeah, I completely agree. And I also like Michael's perspective. I've always thought this, he's a football guy. He knows football. And he's not from Nebraska. So I'm not suggesting that other Nebraska reporters are homers. I'm certainly not suggesting that, but he is very, I feel like, candid and objective, without having grown up with the illness that the rest of us have, which is this obsession with Nebraska football and looking at everything through scarlet colored glasses, if you will.
Sure.
Yeah.
Hey, me and Michael, we see eye to eye. In some sense, you could say we're kind of like the same person. You know, my knowledge of football. I was raised an Irish fan, you know, so I'm not looking through those scarlet lenses. So yeah. Yeah. End of story. Me and Michael Sevier are kind of the same guy, actually.
Yeah. Jeff, no one would say that. Go ahead, Matt.
No, I don't think
literally, literally no one.
No one is saying that.
No one.
No. I think you even, you accidentally muted yourself. You didn't even say it. Just kidding.
No, I agree. That's definitely, you know, Michael's got that perspective of somebody that, like you said, hasn't grown up with the affliction of, you know, this Husker football thing pumping through our veins and sometimes making us, you know, overcome with joy and sometimes overcome with sadness and depression. You know, I think it's safe to say he's an observer, maybe a fan, but not a fanatic like us and thousands and thousands of others. So right. I always appreciate his perspective.
I think he's at least to the point where he wants to see Nebraska football do well, just so this state can smile again.
It's better, so
he can talk about a winner again, you know.
It's better for the state economy, TJ, if Nebraska football is winning games.
Exactly right, Matthew. So anyway, guys, just a teaser, little teaser episode this week. We'll be pushing the Reckoning series out through all the normal channels on YouTube. Make sure to subscribe on Twitter, on Facebook, all around. But again, it's a 6 episode series. It's kind of like a mini series. We're basically Netflix, guys. 6 episode mini series put on by your Common Fan podcast. Running from June 17th to July 22nd. And then that'll be on the eve. July 22nd will be the week, I believe, of Big Ten Media Days. And so that'll get you to Big Ten Media Days, Common Fans. And then fall camp will start soon after that. And we'll be there, guys. We'll be to football season after that. God, so
can you believe it?
Hopefully, this is some good sort of summertime off-season content for the fellow Common Fans. Lots to chew on. Some to get angry about. It's okay to get angry. We're going to work through some emotions. We're going to air some grievances. We're going to channel, you know, our inner Husker fan and just like, you know, we're going to let it all out. You can cry. You can laugh. You can be angry, whatever you want to do. And then come football season, we're going to be ready. We're going to be ready to turn the corner. We're going to be ready collectively as Husker Nation to, I've used this line many times now. I borrowed it from Winston Churchill. But we're going to help move things forward into a new era of broad sunlit uplands for Husker football. Can't wait for that.
Yes.
All right.
Touché.
Anything else, guys?
No, I'm just jacked for the Common Fans to experience this this series. It's been a ton of fun to do.
And we've worked really, really hard on it. So it's gonna be fun to see that come to fruition. So
absolutely.
I'm getting red out here, TJ. This is, we're in a...
Get your sunscreen on, Jeff. Get your sunscreen on. All right. Well, before
the Common Fan podcast sponsored by Copper Tone.
Before Jeff wilts in the air,
burst into flames.
We'll wrap things up here, but keep an eye out for The Reckoning starting June 17th. Brought to you by the Common Fan podcast. Really thankful to all you Common Fan listeners, from the OG listeners who have been with us from the beginning to those of you who are just now discovering us. This is just the beginning, fellow Common Fans. There's lots more to come, and we love doing this and we love sharing it with you. So Matt, Jeff, we'll talk to you soon, boys. Until next time, Common Fans, GBR for life. We'll be right back.